The theme for both this morning and tonight's lesson is a church on fire. And this morning we ask a very important question. Are we a church that's on fire for God? The thought that I wanted to make very clear is that the only way that any church, including this one, can be on fire for God is that each of us, as individual Christians, must have a heart on fire for God. And then when we come together, we bring our collective fires together. Collectively, we assemble, but everything we do here is on an individual basis. In the book of Genesis chapter 22, and you need not go there, I just want to illustrate something. In Genesis chapter 22, in an effort to test Abraham, God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac, his one and only son Isaac, and to offer him as a sacrifice, a burnt offering. The Bible says that early the next morning, Abraham gathered his son Isaac and two other servants, and they headed out. Several days later, they arrived at Mount Moriah, where the sacrifice was to happen. At Mount Moriah, young Isaac understood that three things were necessary for a sacrifice. You had to have wood, you had to have fire, and then you had to have the sacrifice. And young Isaac said to his father, he says, now we have the wood and we have the fire, but his question on Mount Moriah, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham told him, the Lord will provide. And the Lord did provide. He provided a lamb. That lamb was a foreshadowing of God's lamb, Jesus Christ, who came into the world. That lamb on that mountain dying for Isaac was foreshadowing the death that the true Lamb of God would die for all of us. The point is that the question that Isaac asked on Mount Moriah is, where is the sacrifice? Now, the question that we ask tonight is different than Isaac's. Tonight, we have the wood, the cross of Christ. We have it. And tonight, we have the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who came into the world and died in our stead. But the question tonight is not, where is the sacrifice? The question tonight is, where is the fire? Where's the fire? And brethren, the fire is in your life and in mine. That's where the fire is. For a church to be on fire, we made a couple of observations this morning, and I just have one more to share, But before I share it, I want to make this thought clear, and this thought is very crucial in the lives of all of us. In living your Christian life and in getting your heart either ablaze or reablazed for God, don't overlook the obvious. In trying to become a spiritual person, or a more spiritual person, or in trying to get ourselves in a hotter temperature spiritually for God, many times we're looking for some secret formula to be all that God wants us to be. We're looking for this magic pill, and I just take this pill, and then it's all going to happen. Listen, here is the secret formula. Ask yourself the question, what was I doing when I was my closest to God? That's it. Because, brethren, many times we become cold because we stop doing the very thing that we were doing when we were hot for God. At the time in your life when you were closer to God than any other time in your life, you were faithful to the assembly. You cannot hit and miss and be hot for God. At the time in your life when you were the closest to God, you spent time praying. You spent time studying your Bible. The time in your life when you were the closest to God was the time in your life that you engaged yourself in what was going on in the church, and you engaged yourself in people around you to talk to them about God. Don't overlook the obvious. What was I doing when I was on fire for God? A church on fire. We made two observations. In order to keep our hearts on fire for God, you got to stay close to the fire. And in order to keep your heart on fire for God, you got to work up a sweat. One more thought. In order to keep our hearts on fire for God, you have to put a windbreak around the fire. Let me explain, and full disclosure. Camping has never, ever appealed to me, not one day of my life. The thought of sleeping outside on the ground, no! Now, there are some people who love it, and I know some of them. They love it because some of them, that is their stress buster. They get away from city, they get away from everybody and everything, and go to the middle of nowhere, and it's them and God, and it's the stars and all them critters that are running around. And listen, that's their stress buster. And they say, when I get there is nothing in the world that I think about, nothing bothers me. And if that works for you, God bless you. And if that worked for me, I'd sell my house and move out there. But listen to me. The people who do it, they talk about having a windbreaker. A windbreaker. And I'm like, I used to wear a windbreaker. What is a windbreaker? When you go camping, you have to have a fire. They said even if you cook without the fire and bring your own gas and hook it up and do all that, they say, but when you camp, you have to have a fire, because inevitably at night it gets cold, and so you have to build a fire. They said, but inevitably the wind is always blowing. And you cannot, listen to me, you cannot get a fire started when the wind is blowing. Amen? Hold that thought. You cannot get a fire started when the wind is blowing. So they said you have to have a wind breaker. I said, keep talking. They said, now that windbreaker may be a pile of rocks that you block the wind with so that you can get the fire started. They said that windbreaker may be a cliff or part of something where you're going to put the camp around it. Listen to me. When you're camping, a fire is an absolute must in order to stay warm, but in order to start the fire, you got to have something that will break the wind so that you can start the fire and generate the heat that's going to come from the fire. The spiritual application of this: if you sit here tonight and if you say to yourself, I am going to set myself on fire for God, I'm going to put my heart on fire, I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I'm going to burn myself up, if that's what you're saying, it is absolutely certain the devil is going to try to blow that fire out. The devil's going to blow that fire out. So you know what you got to do? You got to put a windbreaker around that to get it started. Two passages. Let's look quickly. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Familiar scripture needs to be read more carefully. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Pause. Brethren, the world out there is sinful. The people out there have lost their minds, literally and spiritually. Look what he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. In other words, think clearly. The world has dropped off the deep end spiritually and morally, so as a Christian, you got to think clearly. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Pause. A hungry lion is the lion that prowls around. It is a hungry lion that is a restless lion. And a hungry lion will continue to be restless until he finds something to eat. Look how the verse ends. Seeking someone to devour. The word devour there literally means to swallow down. Brethren, you have to think clearly. The reason you have to think clearly is because the devil is prowling. The devil is hungry for souls, and the devil is looking to swallow you in a single bite. When you decide, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to live the way God wants me to live, and I'm going to set myself on fire for God, the devil is going to try to blow that fire out. Second passage, look at Luke chapter 4. This is Luke's account of the temptations of Jesus with the devil. As soon as these 40 days of temptations are over, Luke records in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 13, the English Standard Version. And when the devil had ended the temptations, he, the devil, departed him until an opportune time. There are two words you need to understand about you and the devil. Regularly and often. That's where he's coming. He's coming often, and he's coming on a regular basis. And if you won today, the battle's over, the war still rages. Now, here's the point I'm making. If you're going to keep your heart on fire for God, you got to put a windbreak around the fire. So you're going camping, and now, okay, we're going to build this fire. But we understand, before we left home, we understand the wind's going to blow. And we understand, before we left the house, that we're going to have something that will break the wind so that we can start the fire. In your Christian life, you've got to expect, you've got to understand that as you strive to please God and as you strive to live for God, that the devil is going to try to knock your fire, the fire in your heart out. And here's the deal. If you will expect it, then when it happens, it won't knock you off your feet. Some of us are attacked by the devil and we're surprised at it. If you expect it, it won't knock you off your feet. Are you listening? As you go through life, you have to expect ups and downs. And when the downs come, don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Preacher asks one sister in the church who is having a particular tough road. He said, "Sister, how are you doing?" She said, "Well, under the circumstances, okay." He said, "If you are a Christian, What are you doing under the circumstances? You ought to be on top of the circumstances. Discouragement comes to all of us. You have to expect it. This is going to happen. I am going to get serious for God, and when you do, the devil is going to get serious about taking you away from God, about blowing out your spiritual fire. You have got to expect that. You got to know, listen, bad things are going to happen. Discouragement is going to come. The world is going to roll over on me. But listen, we have got to rise above all of this. And one of the reasons is this. It's because what we go through in life is what qualifies us for greater service for God. It's everything that we go through, that's what qualifies us for greater service for God. Let me give you an example. Preachers. And I got to be real careful what I say, how I say this, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I love to listen to young men preach. Young men. Because it's new to them. And they're excited with it. And every truth they find is new to them, so they're excited about it. And so they get up and they want to share. And that's great. You understand what I just said? That's great. But it's the old guys. It's the old guys that I focus. I'm talking about guys who are 70, 75, 80, 85 years old, 90. I heard a guy the other day, Church Christ, a guy sent me a thing, how to get online to get it. 92 years old, and the old man still had the fire. Now, let me tell you why I love these guys. I love these guys because when they take the book in the hand and when they go to a passage, they not only understand how to dot the theological I's and cross the theological T's, they understand it, but when they go to it and explain it, what they do is they bring life experience to the passage. And you just can't do that unless you've got the life experience with that. And so what, everything that they've been through, maybe his, you know, his wife has died, or his wife is sick, or he's lost a child, or he's just gone through life, and he's just dealt with the brethren forever. And so he comes and he brings life experience to it. And so when he preaches, he does more than explain it. Because of what he's been through, he's able to take a passage and he's able to wrap flesh on it and stand it up in front of me, and I can look at it and I can see it, and bam, I got it now. You understand what I'm saying? If I can see it, I got it. What we go through in life is what qualifies us to greater service in the kingdom of God. What we think ought to stop us is the thing that ought to kick the fire up, brethren. Elders are the same way. Would anybody really want an elder who hadn't been through anything? One of the reasons you don't want a new convert, and there's several reasons, but one of them is there's no life experience there yet. Elders are imperfect people. They have spent their life dealing with other imperfect people. They have wives, they have children, they have jobs, they have homes, they have all of this life stuff, and then when they come to church, they, as imperfect people, are dealing with other imperfect people, but what they do is they bring the life experience they have with them, and it helps them to understand. Listen to me. What it is we go through is what qualifies us for greater service. Look, life has ups and downs. Expect it. There's going to be bad days. Don't let the devil pull you away because of those bad days. Because it's those bad days that are going to cause you to meet other people and have compassion for those other people because you've stood in their shoes, bless God. So here's what I'm saying. I'm done, but here's what I'm saying. What we go through qualifies us to help others. It qualifies me to look at somebody and say, you know what? I know exactly how that feels. I know exactly how that feels. And even if I never have a conversation about that person, if I know what that person's been through, I can look at that person and have compassion on that person and pray for that person because I can tell myself, I'd live through that. The brick walls that we face are not there to stop us. They are there to test our determination. This is what I think, and I believe this with all my heart. Those brick walls are there to stop others, but they're not there to stop me or us. If you are going to be a Christian who is on fire for God, you're going to have to put a windbreak up around that fire. Because the devil's going to try to put your fire out. He's going to try to put your fire out. We all know about the hell that he put Job through. And while Job and his three friends are trying to understand all of it, those four had no clue what was going on in the background. Did you hear what I said? No clue. Well, I know what the answers are. Bless God, we don't even know what all the problems are. And when you go through your deal, there may be a whole lot more going on in the unseen world than you could say grace over. But I expect it. I expect it. There are four seasons. And in life, there's four seasons. And if you've never been sad, you cannot really appreciate being glad. You understand what I'm saying? A church on fire. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to set my heart on fire. But as I do it, I'm going to be fully conscious and fully aware that the devil is going to try to put out my spiritual fire and lower my spiritual temperature. But because I expect it, when it happens to me, I'm not going to let this thing destroy me. And I'm going to keep going. And whatever the devil puts me through, I'm going to use what he put me through. I'm going to use it to help others in the kingdom of God, and God will call me and use me to a greater service. And what the devil does to destroy me, Joseph said it, you meant it for evil, but God made it good. And God can still do that. God can still do that. A church on fire. Brethren, let's stay close to the fire. Let's work up a sweat and let's put a windbreak around a fire and know, as I go toward God, the devil's going to come toward me. But that's all right because I expect it to happen. This afternoon, if you're here, if you've allowed what you've gone through to take you back out into the world, if you need to respond, do it right now.